Well, I want to be ready when he comes too. When I think about that reunion in heaven, it doesn't get any better than that. If you give me the choice of whatever situation I might find myself in, say, it's you, you're king for a day, what would you like to do? I don't know what else I could choose above that meeting in heaven. I'm looking forward to that. I don't want to miss it. I want to do whatever it takes to make it in. I have a message I'd like to share with you. You don't always know why the Lord moves when He does, but I trust that the Lord will bless it to our hearts. I'd like to start in the 16th chapter of Luke and the 19th verse. Says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The thing that I want to impress upon us today, tonight, about this story, is I noticed that the second verse that we read said that the beggar was laid at his gate, talking about the rich man, and it said that he was laid at his gate. And maybe every day. That's the vision that I get. That he was there often. Not just one time, not just an instant. But he was there and the rich man passed him over and over and over again. And every day, perhaps, the rich man had the opportunity to be reminded of his responsibility. There was a responsibility that he had in this passage. And every day he passed, and there he was. And every day he went on and he didn't take action around the responsibility that he had. I want to do something about the truth that I pass by every day. The truth that has been given to me through life. I have a responsibility to that truth. And I wonder if the rich man, even tonight, I wonder if he ever looks back and says to himself, if only I would have done something different with that responsibility that was put before my eyes every night. If only I had stopped long enough to think about the fact that my life on this earth is going to end at some point. It's going to come to an end. And then eternity follows out beyond that. If only I would have thought a little bit that maybe I have misplaced priorities. If only. But tonight he doesn't have an opportunity to do anything different. Because the Scripture said that there's a great gulf that was fixed between them. Tonight, I don't want to let that happen to me. And I don't want it to happen to you either. We've been blessed with truth. Many of us that are here tonight, we've been blessed with talents of truth and knowledge. And God wants us to take advantage of that. And I don't want to get to the end of the way and have that go through my mind in an eternity of hell. If only. If only I would have reacted. If only I would have listened. If only I would have acknowledged my need. If only I would have recognized that I don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. If only I would have done that. And I want to say something else. I want to do more than just get close to the kingdom. I want to do more than just put myself where the presence of God is. I don't want to have the testimony, well, I almost was there. I want to go all the way. There's a verse in the 12th chapter of Mark in the 34th verse, and Jesus was talking to, he was having this discussion with someone that had asked him, I believe, what is the first commandment? And Jesus told him what the first commandment was, and then the man responded to what Jesus said. And do you remember what Jesus' response to him was? What did he say? Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Well, I guess when I've read that before, to me, it was a positive statement. I mean, there wasn't condemnation in it. He didn't say, thou art not far from the kingdom, but you're not there and you're going to be lost. The Lord offers us hope, and He gives us opportunity. And He gave this man opportunity. And if the Lord were to speak to me tonight, when I was praying to Him and in a discussion with Jesus, and He told me, and He said, Rod, you're not far from the kingdom. I think I would have a couple of different feelings. I think on the one hand, I would be encouraged that I'm not far from the kingdom. Jesus just told me I'm not far from the kingdom. I like that. That's good. But I also feel that there would be a sense of urgency that He didn't say, you found the kingdom. I believe there would be a sense of urgency in me that He said I wasn't far, but I'm not there yet. And I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. And I want to make it. I don't want to let there be anything that separates me from the kingdom. I don't want my tombstone to say he almost was a Christian. I feel like sometimes people tonight, they have a false sense of security because maybe they come to church. Maybe they didn't go to church for a long time, but now they're coming to church. Maybe they had things in their life that shouldn't be there, and maybe they're not doing those things anymore. That's good. The Lord's happy to see that. The Lord wants to see us make progress. But folks, we've got to go all the way. We have to go all the way. We can't get almost there and win the prize. We have to be willing to go all the way, because I don't know when He's going to call my name. And I believe that so many people, sometimes they feel like someone might say, well, I'm closer to the Lord than what you think I am. Have you ever heard that? They might be farther than they think they are. People say, well, you just don't know. I'm making some changes. I might be closer to the Lord than you think. They might be, and I'm happy about that. But tonight, I have got to have a sense of urgency that I need to make my calling and election sure tonight. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. I don't know if I'm going to have tomorrow. I haven't been guaranteed tomorrow. And I don't want to look into heaven with that great gulf between me and where I am. And know that never again will I have the opportunity to get there. And know that every day I pass by my gate, if you will, and there was a constant reminder of the responsibility that I had to something bigger and greater than how I was living. But you know, a lot of times as humans, it seems like we forget that it's the day-to-day decisions that we make that are going to determine whether or not we make it to heaven. And sometimes we can start to feel like, well, when that grand day comes where I have to make the big decision, I'm going to make the big decision. When it gets right down to it, then I'll make the decision. I'll make the big one. I'm going to live for the Lord, and I'm going to show Him and everyone else and myself. But you know, that's not usually the way it works. Every day we're making decisions. Every day the Lord is faithful to us routinely. He places things at our gate, if you will, in life, with the roads that we go down as reminders to us. You have a responsibility here. He's so faithful. He's so faithful to do it over and over. And yet, so many times we blow right past it. So taken and so consumed with the material things of life. So consumed with our fleshly desires and our wants. And in the back of our minds, the enemy might be whispering to us, you're okay, you know where your heart is, it's right. You'll make the big decision when it counts. But the big decision is today. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. God might come back tonight. And I don't know that. The Scriptures, there's all kinds of Scriptures that bear this out. In the 19th chapter of Luke, you don't need to turn there, but this is in the parable of the talents. And you remember when it said, when the Lord returned, did He say, go tell my servants that I'm going to call for them in another year and have them give an account? A year from today. That's not what He said. He didn't say, tell them in a month. He didn't say, tell them that it next week. He didn't say, give them warning, we're going to be there within the hour. That'd be some warning. But you know what it said? It said that He commanded that the servants be called to Him. It's your time. It's your turn. We preached a message the other night about thy poverty cometh as one that traveleth. Or surely thy poverty comes as one that travels. In other words, you may not expect it today, tomorrow. It may seem like a long ways off in the future. But one of these days, He's going to knock on your life's door, and it's going to be your turn. And He's going to command, it's time. It's your turn. Paul tells us in Thessalonians that the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Thief in the night. In Revelations, Jesus said, behold, I come with much warning. That's not what it said, is it? Behold, I come quickly. And I thought about that different times. Well, some people live to be in their 90s. Some people live to be 100. Some people live pretty old.
But you know, in the scheme of things, again, our life is just a vapor that appears for a little time and then it's gone. And however you want to look at how long our lives may be in comparison to somebody else's, in the scheme of all things, comes quickly. And we're going to meet the Lord and we're going to have to give an account. And I do not want to be in eternity remembering. I feel like tonight that one of the torments of hell must be that you have an eternity to remember all of the times that you had opportunity. All of the times that the Lord placed something in your way for you to pass by to try to get your attention, to show you a responsibility that you had above and beyond what we're living today. And we're so consumed with today of how to satisfy ourselves, and we put off till tomorrow so many times the weightier matters of life. And I have to think that must be one of the torments of hell, that we remember the opportunities we had to make it right so that we could have been in heaven instead. All of the times that we remember, oh, I remember back in 1976 at Monarch Springs Camp Meeting when the Spirit of the Lord was dealing with me and I felt conviction. And I felt His Spirit, but I didn't move. And I stayed in my seat. And the next night I didn't feel it. Oh, if only I would have responded. And then I remember, when He passed me by again. Just a week later, I was going on my way, consumed with how I wanted to live and trying to figure out everything I could get by with. There is a difference tonight in living to please and living to stay out of trouble. There's a difference between that, young people. Don't live your lives where you're just seeing what you can get by with so you can stay out of trouble with the Lord and be saved. Live to please. Ask the Lord, what can I do to please You? And if that is the attitude of our heart, He'll place things before us. And we'll say, Lord, that's what You want me to do. Lord, how can I please You better? I want to be a light to the world. I want to be willing to be a disciple. I want to be willing to lay my life down and follow You all of the way. Instead of spending all of my energy on, well, I think I should be able to do this. The Bible doesn't necessarily say I can't do this. And we let the world start to creep in. And you know what happens? The world creeps in and it dulls your spiritual senses. And it dims your vision. And then one day, you're on the other side. And then you're remembering, oh, God was so faithful. And I let it go by. If only I would have responded. If only I would have listened to godly parents who tried to warn me, don't do that. I know you don't see it right now, perhaps when you're young, but it'll get you into trouble. There's consequences to it. If you don't understand it right now, look at the consequences of those. Look at the lives of those that did do it. And until you understand it better, follow that. Otherwise, you're risking getting in trouble. And so many times, people just go right on past it because we're consumed with today. And I believe there's going to be many a soul in hell that looks back and says, oh, why didn't I listen to what my parents told me? Why didn't I give it more consideration? Why didn't I get on my knees and ask the Lord to help show me if this is right? Reveal it to me, Lord, instead of just immediately saying, well, I don't see it that way. When the Lord passes by our way, I want to be ready to go. And I don't want to live my life so that I have all of these instances like this service tonight that have to come back to my mind in a devil's hell because I let the opportunity pass me by. Because I thought there was going to be another day. I didn't think it was my turn.
Do you all remember that story? Did you read that short story, The Lottery? Do you remember that short story?
That was a disturbing story. But there was a story that we read in English class, and it was this messed up society that every single year they had a lottery. Everybody in the town had to put their name in a hat, and they would draw names out of the hat, and the last name that was in there would be stoned by everybody else that was in the community. But as you read the story, it made it seem like it was a big party. It was a picnic. It was something that everybody could. It was the grand day, and you're reading the story, and it's building up to this climax, and you think that whoever's last is they're going to win the wonderful prize. And then there's little things along the way, people gathering up stones and making piles, and everybody thought it was going to be somebody else. And then as the names continued to get drawn out of the hat and their name wasn't the one called, it started getting serious. And then all of a sudden it got down to the very end and it was clear that it whose name had not been called, or rather whose name was getting ready to be called. And then it was serious business now. It wasn't funny anymore. It wasn't a party anymore. Why is it that we as humans always think it isn't going to be us? We always feel like we're going to get out of it. We're going to have another opportunity. It'll be okay with me. One of these days, it was brought out last night, one out of one people die. Our name's going to be called. And these services that we're having in this meeting, that is God's way of reaching us now. We're not having these services because they mean nothing. And the service that's going to matter is sometime down in life when it's a better time, a more convenient time for us. God is faithful to bring us these services now because some of you may not see another meeting. This may be it for you. And as was mentioned the other night, most people are sitting in the pews tonight, and the thing that goes through your mind is, yeah, somebody might not make it to another service. Somebody. Not ever considering the fact that it might be you. And yet God is giving all of us the opportunity tonight to make our calling and election sure. So that we don't have to get into hell and have, oh, if only I would have listened. If only I would have taken the more earnest heed to the things which I heard. But I didn't. And now there's no other chance. Felix was mentioned the other night. When I have a more convenient season, you don't know that a more convenient season is going to come. Why would he say when I have a more convenient season? It's because he felt like that the rewards he was getting at the time was more important than giving his life to the Lord, right? But the scripture tells us, what would a man profit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Does anybody here tonight have a good option to offer up in exchange for your soul? Maybe just a little worldliness. Not a lot, just a little. So you can still be a Christian. Is that worth it? No, it's not. Is the risk worth it? Is the example that you're setting for your children who will take the little bit that you do and turn it into a whole lot more? It's not just about me. It's not just about the decision you make. It's about the influence that you're going to have on those that come after you. And so we say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it, and I'm okay before the Lord. Maybe you are. What about your children? What about those that are watching you take on more and more worldliness? Starting to go where the world goes. Starting to look like the world looks. Put on what the world looks on. Looking at what they look at. and say, well, God's not so, He's not so concerned about things. He's a bigger God than that. Is it worth it? What if you lose your soul over it? What if all of the saints that have gone before you that didn't live that way and made it into heaven, what if it was necessary not to do those things? What if there was a real reason that they didn't do them? See, the thing is, there is a reason. It's because the Scriptures teach us we're running a race for the Lord to be a disciple of God. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself of these other things. Why take on unnecessary risk? Only to end up eternally lost, saying, if only, I was almost there. The rich young ruler that came to the Lord. Remember how he came to the Lord? He came running. He ran with a sense of urgency. And then he bowed down to Jesus. That's an example for all of us tonight. When was the last time you ran to find the Lord? When was the last time you fell down publicly? Jesus probably wasn't alone that night or that day. But the man ran to him and fell down before him. And he wanted to be saved. But then when the Lord said, this is what you must do to be saved, he went away sorrowful. I'm going to tell you something. He's a whole lot more sorrowful tonight. And he's probably wondering, oh, if only I would have accepted Jesus' invitation to be a follower of him and be his disciple. Oh, if only I would have done it. I was almost there. I came to him. I humbled myself. I had kept everything that I knew to do from my youth. I was almost there. If only I would have done it. King Agrippa, Paul preached to him of righteousness and faith and temperance. And King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Well, I think he did persuade him that it was the right thing to be a Christian. He just wasn't persuaded to be a Christian that night or that day. What do you think he's thinking now? What's King Agrippa doing right now? Oh, we read about King Agrippa. It seems like that was a long time ago. King Agrippa is still alive somewhere. He didn't go away. What is he thinking tonight? Oh, if only I was almost there. Hit by his own testimony. What do you say to God about that? When you stand before the Lord, I believe we're going to be speechless. We're not going to have this discourse with the Lord. Well, Lord, you know, I mean, the reason I did this, and Lord, maybe you didn't see it the way I saw it. My perspective was, he's going to look at us, and it's the truth is just going to be there. And then we're going to have to spend eternity recalling the fact that, oh, I knew better than that. Oh, Jesus told me, he warned me. He told me he was praying for me that my faith wouldn't fail and that I'd betray him. And yet when I betrayed him, all he had to do was look at me. That's all, he looked across the room, made eye contact, said everything. Where are you tonight? Are you comfortable where you are? Are you almost there? Are you on the fence? Do you have things in your life that you think might possibly would be something that you would look at and say, oh, if only I wouldn't have done that. If only I would have just listened a little bit more. We all remember the story of Belshazzar. Belshazzar was told at the end, you knew this. You knew this, Belshazzar. But what he got so caught up with what Belshazzar wanted to do. You know, sometimes we look at Belshazzar and think, what a bad man. What a horrible man. The scripture said that he worshipped the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, yet did not worship the God that gave him breath and knew him. He didn't worship that God, but he worshipped all these other gods. And we think he's so bad, and yet, how do we spend our time? How do we spend the limited resources that we have in this life? Doing what? And for what? I'm afraid sometimes, I'm putting myself in there, we can get so carried away with serving things that are not consistent or do not have eternal value. I don't want to have the Lord come along and say, "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." Belshazzar got so carried away that he said, "Bring me the vessels in the temple." And they brought him those things that were intended to glorify God. The vessels in the temple were supposed to be in the temple because that's where God was. And it was supposed to be for Him and for His use. What are we tonight? Did you know that we're a vessel? God intends for you to be the temple of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And the Scriptures teach us to use our members as instruments of righteousness. And you can look at what Belshazzar did. He took the vessels that were in the temple and he used it for his flesh. We are a vessel. We are intended to be the vessel of God, where He dwells. And we have arms, and we have eyes and ears, and we have strength to go and do, and we have a mind, and we make decisions. They're members of this vessel. And the Lord encourages us, use them as instruments of righteousness. Don't use them to consume upon your flesh, like Belshazzar did. And yet, what do? Belshazzar, well, I'm king. I can do whatever I want with them. Sometimes we think, well, I'm my own self. I should be able to make the decisions for myself. I don't need anybody else telling me what I need to do. This is me. This is between me and God. You're right. It is, and it's very personal. And then so often we use the members that we have, our hands, our eyes, our ears, our mind, our strength, and we use them not in a way that glorifies God. And Daniel went through and he reiterated what had happened with Belshazzar's grandfather. Similar story, got lifted up. And the Lord brought him down. And Nebuchadnezzar himself testified of it. Belshazzar didn't need God's prophets to tell him what happened. Nebuchadnezzar himself wrote it all down and sent it out to be read. It was right in front of him. It was right at his gate. He passed right by it. And Daniel got done talking about all of it. And when he got done, he said, "And you knew all this." Those of us that are here tonight, you know a lot. You've been given the blessing of a lot of knowledge of truth. You've been warned about a lot of things. You've been taught what righteousness and holiness is. You've been taught what it means to give yourself to the Lord and to be willing to follow Him as a disciple. May God help all of us to take the more earnest heed to those things so that we don't let them slip. Because the Scripture says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every disobedience received a just recompense or reward," and it will, it says, "how shall we escape if we neglect?" See that word, neglect. If you neglect so great a salvation, you've been offered it, you've been taught about it, And yet we are so quick. We're so quick to take what we've read and what we've been taught and to say, well, I don't see it that way. And the latter part of it is, I don't want to do it that way. You know, a lot of times that's what it amounts to. Revelations 1 and 13. I'd like to read that. 1 and 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. This is your time. Those of you tonight, if there's somebody here and you're not comfortable where you're at spiritually, maybe you're saved. Maybe you have a desire to live for the Lord. But maybe the Lord's been dealing with you about something. And He's been trying to get through to you in His loving way. This thing over here, it's not consistent with holy living. And He's asking us to follow a little bit closer. He doesn't want us to be one of the five foolish virgins. Maybe at one point they had oil. A lot of times we're living as we should, but then when the Lord reveals something to us, we have to be willing to move up to that if we want to remain with oil. I always remember as a little child listening to that story of the foolish virgins. And it seems so sad to me that when they finally went and got the oil, you know, I could visualize in their mind them taking off and they get their oil and they come back and they're just right on the other side of the door and they're talking to each other. We're here. We got oil. They knew where to go get the oil. Did you notice that? I don't remember reading that they were told exactly where to go get it. They tried to get it from those that had it. We can't live off somebody else. We got to go get it for themselves. They went and got it, and then they came back. And it seemed like they were so close. They were virgins. They were foolish virgins, but they weren't just heathens out in the world. They had some good things about their lives. They were so close, but yet so far away. Are you a wise virgin, or are you a foolish one? I remember Brother Ostis telling us, like, I think I was sitting over here as a child. I was a child because I remember what I was thinking. I don't typically think that way anymore. But I remember him standing up here saying, the Scripture says that five were wise and five were foolish and they're all virgins. And he said, and what that meant, what that means is that half of us in this congregation today would be lost. And I remember sitting up there as a child, you know, looking around the congregation, trying to figure out, well, who's going to be lost? Who in this congregation is going to be lost? You know, it's serious business that we're talking about. So close, but yet so far away. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 7, ye ran well. What did hinder you? You were running well. You knew about the race. You were running the race. What hindered you? Why did you give up? Why did you let these other things start coming into your lives? Why did you start putting weights on when you were trying to win the prize? Have you ever seen a runner do that? I never have. I've never seen a runner stop mid-race and strap weights on their ankles and then continue on to win. Never seen it. But I've seen professed Christians do it. We're running the race to win. And then we start strapping on weights. We start strapping on a little worldliness, a little self, a little pride, a little, well, I don't want to go that far. And we start strapping on these things, and all the while we're saying, there's no sin against it. Never read in the rule book, I can't put a sandbag on my ankle while I run. There's probably not. You can do it if you want. But the objective is to win. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. Run like your life depends on it, because it does. Tonight, you're running the race whether you want to or not. This This is not a voluntary race. Sometimes you might line up outside and say, hey, we're going to have a race. Who wants to race? And sometimes you can say, I'm not interested. And you don't have to race. Tonight, every one of you are in the race, whether you want to be or not. And there's a finish line with the tape stretched across the track somewhere in front of every one of us, but you don't know where it is. And I don't know where it is. So the Scriptures say, run. Run. Run with diligence. Run with the objective to win. Run with the willingness to throw the weights off. Run with an abandon of, I don't care what other people think. The race is on. And I don't want to get to the end of the way and say, oh, if only I would have just, if only I would have done this. Oh, the Lord put it in front of me and I passed by to my gate every day or every week. Or He was so faithful just routinely and I passed right on by it, if only. Listen, if the Lord is passing by your way, step off of the curb like blind Bartimaeus did. You remember when he started calling out, they said, oh, you need to quiet down here. Quiet down. Don't do that. And what did it say he did? He cried the louder. And many times when the Lord starts dealing with our hearts, the enemy comes along and he says, you don't need to do that. You're okay. Let the moment pass. May we cry louder to drown out the spirits of this world that would say, you're okay. Everything's going to be okay. Be willing to step away from the curb like blind Bartimaeus did. Cry out. And you know what? The Lord will say, He'll stop. Just like He did with Bartimaeus. He heard him. He said, tell him to come. Isn't that wonderful? Every one of us tonight, the Lord, He's waiting for you to step off the curb and call out to Him. And He's not going to condemn you for what's in your life. He's in the business of saving if you're willing to come to Him. The condemnation comes when He repeatedly, day after day after day, puts it out in front of your gate and you just keep passing by it. And then one of these days, your name's going to be called. And then it's the time of judgment. Then there's no more opportunity. But today, there's opportunity. Tonight, He's calling. And maybe He's dealing with someone. Maybe there's someone that doesn't have much life ahead of you. And you have no idea. And maybe the Lord's trying to pass by your way saying, come. You don't want to end up lost and for eternity be saying, if only. Oh, if only I would have moved. Tonight, let's all be challenged in our hearts to open our hearts and minds to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And when He reveals it to us, let's move. I want to be true. Pray for me. Amen.